Hey you, wherever you are in the world right now, thank you so much for being here with me. We know that we're living in some crazy times and the world is changing at a rapid pace. So let's create a bridge and build this bridge around the world, uniting everyone together without any judgment and just building our home in one world as one people. And as we do this, this is why our signature talk today is so, so important. Today, I am honored and grateful for my guest speaker, Jackie Tradewell. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great, and I'm so glad that you're here with me today to have this amazing interview. Jackie is actually someone that I met years ago, and we have maintained this connection with each other, and it's just really special to have someone that I personally know on my show, because there's so many things we can talk about. But Jackie, if you could, just tell me a little bit about yourself for the audience.
Oh, wow. Okay. Thank you, Kathy. And it's such an honor to be here with you. This is so amazing, your platform. And I'm just really happy to be here and share. I live on a farm. And after 30 years of the beauty industry, I came to get involved with horses. And it actually started with a goat. And so I've been living and caring for horses now for about 11, 12 years. So it's amazing. It's a labor of love, and they are such a gift to me. I own six. So I live on my farm, and I care for my horses and my husband. And I pretty much have a simple life right now, and that's really wonderful, too.
I love the simplicity of your life, because I know years ago we had a conversation and I actually reminded you that that simplistic life is such a blessing, because it does allow you to live in abundance in a different way that you never had before. And, you know, for a lot of people, I think 2020, people were in this rat race and they literally were doing everything they could to fill their lives up and chasing, you know, all these things, literally things to like fill their life up. And in all honesty, 2020 kind of brought everything to a grinding halt and really made people think about, do you really need all these things? Like, maybe you don't need all these things. So how has that felt for you?
It's amazing that you even bring that up, because I noticed the adoption rate in animals for 2020 went through the roof. And I thought that was a beautiful thing. My heart just holds that after life returns to somewhat of normalcy again, that these beautiful animals, you know, continue with their home, whatever they may be. But with people feeling restricted in 2020, they turn to animals. Animals are a total gift for me, speaking for me. Animals are a gift from God for me. And they teach you. I think they're here to teach us so much, especially unconditional love. And also discipline, right? Because, you know, I have a cat in the house. I have dogs as well. Horses, it's, you know, I could go away for a week and leave my cat with the litter box, food, and water, and be like, okay, you're good for a couple days. You can't do that with horses. You know, it's a 365-day, 7-day-a-week, twice-a-day job. And it's dedication. They look to me for their care, right? And most likely, like cats and dogs do as well, and really any other animal that you can speak of, if they're in a caring for a home or a facility that someone has to look over them. They're not in the wild. So I do can certainly can relate to realizing we don't need, we actually are more abundant than we realize. We don't need all the stuff. We don't need all the addictions, right? So, you know, certain things closed down. And at first, you know, I'm sure we were really upset about it. Like, well, what do you mean I can't go to the movies right now? Or what do you mean I can't go to the mall? Or what do you, but you know, for me, it was more freeing to not have to worry about Oh, I need to go shopping for this. Oh, I need this. I need that. It also broke a habit of buying something, whatever that may be. And when I say addictions, I'm not talking drug or alcohol, even though that is it. It could be a shopping. It could be going to the mall. It could be, anything like that. Okay. So without doing that, it kind of helped us to deprogram out of that. It helped us to realize we have everything we need. We don't need extra. And actually, I personally feel with what I had, and I sold off a lot of my stuff. I mean, a ton of my stuff. And at first, you start to feel empty. You start to feel like, oh, I'm not, now I'm not worthy because I don't have this stuff. And, after a little while, it's sort of really neat because you realize, oh, there's this huge weight that comes off your shoulder. Like, I really didn't need that because I've gotten through. And look, it's okay. I've got this and it's all right. And so that's been a huge lesson for me personally in 2020, realizing when there's a huge flow of abundance for me in my life, because there will be again, to pick and choose things more wisely, not to just pick and choose because I think that's what's going to make me popular, make people respect me, make me have more friends, make me feel respected by the community, make me feel more whole about myself. No, absolutely not. I feel more whole now and I feel more free now than I've ever been. And so, yes, I will be much wiser and a higher sense of generosity. I do consider myself a very giving, loving person, but it'll even be more so someday. So hopefully that helps answer your question.
It absolutely does. And I love this whole, releasing of the things that bind us down, right? Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing is, like, I just remember when I was a little girl and I was living with my grandparents, we literally lived off of the land with the vegetable gardens year round. I mean, there was always something that needed to be done, kind of like tending to the horses. And that schedule of being on a schedule to do the things that need to be done, I had no idea what a gift that was in my life. And for most people that aren't living on a schedule, that simple thing of having a schedule, how much it saves you when things are very chaotic. You talk about the programming, but just the simple thing of tending to the garden and, weeding it or watering it or, gathering the vegetables, whatever. But it goes deeper than that, because when I look at my time when I was living with my grandparents, they were of a generation that was World War II. They had this depletion in their life, and literally the women had to come together, support each other in a community because the men were at war. They supported each other not only with the community, but taking care of the family, the kids. They helped each other when someone needed help. There was this whole, this whole community that was created. And I think in the day that we live in today with all this technology, we're lacking some of that community. And if there's any blessing that could come from this, it is, getting to know our neighbors. It is getting to connect with other people that we may not have otherwise connected with. And just that simplistic act of community and being involved with each other, nobody could have recognized how beautiful that would be prior to 2020.
Mm-mm. No, you're absolutely right. And before 2020, I would say people were selfish. They were living in their own worlds. They were going about their own business. Nobody really looked around. Nobody really cared. I mean, I'm speaking the energy of society, okay, of communities. I really don't know in 2020, and now here we are 2021, I'm still doing it. If I didn't have my horses, or, you know, my cat in the house and my dogs, and literally we have several animals living on a 25-acre farm, but if I didn't have them, I mean, we all get in moods, right? We all get in moods where we don't feel like doing something, right? So I've said to myself many times, I've redirected that energy right out of me by saying, you know, thank God I have these animals. Thank God I have this schedule. Thank God I have this work to do, because I'm unemployed right now. So what would I be doing? You know, what would I be filling my time with? You know, I certainly am not somebody that likes to sit and watch TV all day. I like a good movie like anybody else every now and then, but I'm truly connected to Mother Earth, and I've delved into a very deep sense of gratitude for the simplistic, for the simple, for the discipline, for these jobs. I just don't take things for granted anymore. And I think that's a key piece before 2020, Kathy, where I think as a human race, we took too much for granted. I mean, would you not agree?
I totally agree. And, you know, when I look at the simplistic things of just people having to turn inward within their own soul and their soul journey, and recognizing that maybe they've been running away from their own self because there's something that they haven't healed from, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I just see so many people trying to figure some of that stuff out. Like, what is this? Why do I have to escape into shopping? Or why do I have to escape into my career? Or why do I have to escape into something that's not good for me? Food, drugs, alcohol, whatever it may be. What is this darkest part of you that's forcing you to do that? And I think that's one of the things that, if there could have been a blessing through this, it's allowed people to go introspectively and do some of this healing work. And for people that don't know how to do some of this healing work, I mean, there's an abundance of tools and abundance of opportunities that you can take. I mean, just on Retreat to Peace, you know, there's so many guest speakers that I've had on my show that have offered, you know, tools that you can do given your circumstances and your scenario. But more importantly, as one person is doing this healing work, we collectively are healing the entire globe, literally. Mm-hmm. So it's so, so important that every person is taking this personal responsibility, looking inward and saying, you know what, that time that I had trauma because I was raped, or because I had a car accident, or because, you know, my parent did X, Y, or Z to me and it left a scar on me and my soul. Like, these things, when you heal them, you literally are manifesting a change that is so beautiful and giving yourself so much self-love and so much love that your life just completely transforms. And collectively, when we do this, the world transforms. So I think it's so, so, you know, abundantly clear that this is what this time is about, is really this healing space. And even though it feels dark and uncomfortable, I mean, I know any kind of time that I've gone through some major transformation and growth, holy freaking cow, is it uncomfortable? I've never, yes, ever had a comfortable situation where I was like, you know what? That was great. You know? Like, yes. It was uncomfortable.
Yes. So, if we could just help the collective to erase the fear that comes with that stigma of healing. I mean, there is no doubt that it takes work, but that work is so worth it. It's like that old saying, you know, nothing comes to you that doesn't take hard work, or nothing that's worth it. I mean, you have to work for something to really get that feeling of, you know, again, deep gratitude. Like, wow, I accomplished that. I mean, I used to compete in triathlons, and I started this when I was like in my late 30s, you know, and I was competing against girls that were like early 20s, you know. I mean, I was already a mother. You know, my daughter was probably 10 or 12 at this time. And, you know, I just got it in my head one day, oh, I'm going to do these triathlons. It actually started with rehabbing my shoulder with being a hairdresser. I had really hurt myself. That was a hard profession to have on the physical body. But my point is, you know, the discipline and the hard work that came from that. But, you know, when you win a medal for first place, it's pretty exciting, right? It's like, wow, look what I've accomplished. Or when your weight, when you're so healthy, when your weight is nice and you feel good about yourself, it was another form of a self-love. And I think going introspectively, like you're speaking of, and healing, there's no other better form of self-love. And to put that unconditional love out into the universe, out into the collective, than that. I really truly believe that.
I couldn't agree more. And I think, you know, literally every single human is an expression of love. Like, we are love. That's mm-hmm. literally what we are. And mm-hmm. it is our job that if we're in a darkness, that we take our personal responsibility and turn it inside out and make it love, right? Love mm-hmm. into the universe. So for people that are in this darkness, or they're feeling the heaviness of the darkness, I really encourage anyone who's feeling this, look at ways to disengage from the darkness, because part of what happens to us is we run into these invisible fences or these invisible walls that smack us down. And for a lot of people, that could be an experience. Like I, you know, just shared, there could be a multitude of experiences that will smack us down. But then for other people, it could be a basic thing of what's happening in the world environment. And maybe they're getting triggered from something that they're hearing or an experience that they're going through. And I know globally, you know, we're going through an entire experience as a collective with COVID-19, vaccines, masks, social distancing, you know, government type of stuff. I mean, literally around the world, things are unfolding. So collectively, it is our responsibility that if this is affecting us, that we do have to disengage and find ways that we're going to self-love and heal ourselves and look at ways that we can heal ourselves from other things as well. So one of the things, you know, that I talk about frequently on Retreat to Peace is removing all the labels, like coming into a space without judgment. Coming mm-hmm. into a space where literally recognizing that when we come into the world, we literally have no labels on us. And when we leave the world, we have no labels on us. Mm-hmm. And that's really profound, because who puts these labels on us? We don't do that. Somebody else does that. They attach those labels. And mm-hmm. then the judgment starts, right? So mm-hmm. it's like, removing mm-hmm. the judgment, removing the labels, and just recognizing that literally we are all souls that are traveling in these human forms. And these souls, you know, they all have different experiences, so their responses are going to be different. Mm-hmm. But just having compassion over one another. One of the things that I think was most difficult for me was just, you know, being a kid, a young adult, and having this violent sexual, you know, rape that happened to me as a young girl, and having to step back later in life, recognizing that my body on a cellular level retained that information, and at times will get tripped up because something will spark a memory of that particular moment. But to have self-compassion and awareness and say, you know what, forgive that person, for they do not know the harm they inflicted on you. It doesn't mean you have to, you know, totally forget it, but at least to have the compassion and for that person, that maybe that person had their own generational trauma and didn't know how to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And they had to, you know, they didn't fully understand the impact that they were making. But have a sense of grace, have a sense of, you know, love for yourself, that you don't have to carry these scars. You can release them. You can heal them. It's about making a choice. And in a world that we're living in right now, we're all suffering from psychological trauma. And it's mm-hmm. our responsibility to heal ourselves from this. We have been lied to, I'm sure, in some capacity. The line of truth is somewhere in the middle, as they say. But I don't know, Jackie, like when we put the pieces back together, what are some ways that we put the pieces back together? I'm asking you.
Wow. Well, you're absolutely right. There's going to be pieces that need to be put back together, shattered pieces that are going to have to be put back together. And I think the biggest piece to that is when you're in the dark, or when you're going to go in the dark, or when you feel lost, I would pray and hope that we have someone in our life, in our inner circle, that we can go to, that we trust. I think that's a great gift to have. And, you know, for me personally, my first place to go would be to pray. Okay. And to have my connection, to have my relationship with Christ, for a higher power, for somebody else. That's what I'm saying. Okay. For everybody. I'm just speaking for me personally. After that, somebody in my inner circle, whether it be my husband. I'm very blessed to have like the best husband in the world. I have to brag a little bit. He's really, really supportive and allows me to be me. And, you know, I've been married before. This is not my first rodeo, right? So a lot of people want to, I'm a very free being, free expression, free everything. And that can be threatening to some people. And I've had many people in my life want to squash that. They want to silence me. Okay. Whether women or men, husbands, friends, ex-friends, that never works with me. That's just not the way to handle me. But I really think finding the greatest peace through the love, through the unconditional love, is through your higher power, through God, praying. And then having somebody in your world, in your network, that there is no judgment. I mean, I think that the best thing we could do, the best thing that all of us that are healing, that want to be out there, putting this unconditional love into the universe, into the collective. I know that my mission is working on myself, getting rid of the ego, getting rid of judgment, so that when people are trying to piece their life back together, when people are trying to take the broken pieces and glue it back, that I hope to be somebody that someone could come to and just say, explain this to me, or help me. And I do that in such a loving, non-judgmental way, right? Just to speak the truth. We're all searching for the truth. We're all searching for peace. We're all searching for our personal. So I would definitely, for me, it's my relationship with God. It's my prayer. It's my husband or my best friend. And I have a very, very small, tight inner circle. I just don't let just anybody in. It was a lesson I had to learn. I'm very choosy. And for me, you need to be authentic. You need to stand in your integrity to be close to me. You can't lie to me. I can't tolerate the lies. There's no reason to lie, but we lie. You know, why do we lie? You think about that question. Why do people lie? All right. God knows I've lied. God knows that I've lived a life where I've had to lie because I was afraid to look at me, or I was afraid to look at what needed to shift, what needed to change within me. Again, it goes back to what I just said a few minutes ago with you about the fear. My goal is to have people be able to come to me and realize there's no reason to have any fear. Drop all of the programming, drop all of these lies, drop all this excess weight that we carry on ourselves. It's exhausting. Let it all go. The truth shall set you free.
I love that message of letting it all go and the truth will set you free, because I think that that is such a powerful, powerful thing to wrap your head around. And one of the things, you know, as far as letting it all go and the truth will set you free, the one of the things that was really profound in my personal journey was I was raised by my grandparents primarily. My true parents weren't really present in my life. So I always struggled with my journey about who was my parental figure. Who was it that I could go to? And I didn't necessarily have the traditional family. I didn't have the traditional sense that I could go and talk to somebody about something. And I was always kind of like floundering on who can I trust with this very personal information? Who can I tell this to? Because I don't know if they're a safe space. Are they going to make fun of me? Or are they going to use this against me, you know, whatever context that it would be in. And at some point I had to recognize exactly what you're saying, is that there's going to be a group of people. I call them my seventh power people. They're my seventh power people because these are the people that I know I can go to. I can be my authentic self and my true self, and they will always recognize me for that. And they will always lift me up. They're not going to tear me down for being a highly sensitive person or being authentic or being genuine or having an opinion about a certain thing that may be different from their opinion. They're always going to honor me and honor my space, right? Mm-hmm. So those seventh power people, those people I hold so dear to my life and keep so close to my heart, because they're the ones that are in my authentic space with me. Mm-hmm. But then when we're in these valleys, where sometimes we get into these ruts, and even our seventh power people, sometimes we kind of push them away a little bit because we're not sure what we're going through. We can't articulate it. We can't figure it out. We're feeling very heavy. We're feeling drained. We're tired. And we don't even understand what's happening sometimes. And sometimes it could just be, we're just feeling really weighted because of the collective energy of what's happening in the world. Sometimes it could be, maybe we're starting to get sick and we don't know, you know, like there's a variety of things that could be happening. But when we're in those valleys, that's when it is more important than ever that your relationship with your higher power really comes into play, because the human existence is a manifestation of a collective of a variety of relationships. Mm-hmm. And the relationship with yourself is the first one, the relationship with your higher power, the relationship with other humans that you surround yourself, but the one that's the higher power, I mean, that one is so, so big. And that's the one that we're really alone with most of the time. That's the one that sees us right through us, knows our deepest thoughts, knows when we're in the darkness, but is also the one that can lift us out and totally change us. And it's just a matter of asking. I mean, how many times have I had these God moments? Some people call them God winks. Some people call them, you know, a variety of terms that they put on it. When God shows up in your life unexpectedly, and things changed. But the interesting thing is I saw my guardian angel at 5 years old. So I've had these experiences my entire life. I could write an entire book around all of these God experiences that I have had. Even doing these interviews, God shows up, you know, over and over and over. But it's so profound. And anyone that is struggling with how to put the pieces back together, to your point, Jackie, it's literally getting into prayer and meditation. It's talking to God. It is talking to your higher power. It is being kind to yourself and being compassionate and having empathy. And who is it that you trust? Who are your seventh power people? If you've had people that have continuously burned you, they're not your seventh power people. So recognizing that and being gentle with yourself and just positioning yourself with your authenticity is so, so important. And I think that part of the fear factor in 2021 is that in 2020, we were kind of, you know, being forced to like face ourselves. But in 2021, it gets a whole new layer, couple of new layers, because now we've got this heightened kind of sense and awareness that the entire world is expected to do certain things that maybe they're not comfortable with. And, you know, for people that experience trauma, wearing a mask can be very traumatic. And I'm only saying this because I know for myself, for a woman who's been violated, as I've mentioned, that simple act of having your mouth covered can induce trauma in someone who's experienced any kind of sexual abuse, and if they've been, you know, forced to keep their mouth shut. So, you know, when we go back to the non-judgment and those kinds of things, I mean, I think it really is important to be compassionate with each other and our journeys and what people are experiencing. And also recognize that we are all on our own personal journeys. But when we're in this fear mode, because there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of fear right now around the entire world. And it's for a variety of reasons. But when we're in this fear mode, it's so, so important to disengage out of fear. And the way to disengage out of fear is really trusting, really, really surrendering that we are in the light of love. We are born from love. We are love. And we're a piece of God. We're part of God. So when you surrender to that, there is no fear.
Absolutely. Because when you're in fear, you're blocking that light and love from entering. You know, you're blocking it. And I know there's so many people out there that will say, but I just want this so badly. But at the same time, they're so paralyzed in fear that their heart is speaking. Their soul, actually, I would go as far as to say their soul is crying out saying, I want that love, I want that light, I want that peace. And the human piece of them is blocking that because of the fear. I mean, it's kind of a quandary, right? Because somebody is calling out for help, but yet it's kind of like having that dream where you need to run away from somebody and you're screaming, or you're trying to scream, or you want to scream, but nothing comes out of your mouth because you're so scared. Or you want to sprint and run in the dream, but you're in total slow motion, or you just can't seem to, you're paralyzed. You can't seem to move. Mm-hmm. That's what that reminds me of. So, and I think we've all felt that. I think we've all been there. Even if we don't want to talk about it, I know what that feeling feels like. Yeah. And so it's very scary. You know, going back, I just want to touch on something you said earlier because it's coming back around for me. There is so much triggering being done. You mentioned it briefly. And I know with my own self, if this will help anybody else. If I get triggered by someone else for whatever, if there's something they've said, if there's something that they're wearing, if it's something that they're doing, if it triggers me, it makes me stop in my tracks right then and there and say, why? Because anybody else could look at that situation and not see it at all. Be like, what are you talking about? Right? So I just want to reiterate that personal responsibility piece and that questioning. Because in the world, when we're putting these pieces back together, the big key to that is people are going to be questioning why, what, where, who. So it has to come from within here first. And really our heart center. You know, your mind, your logical brain can be totally blocked off, again, blocked off when the heart's closed, when the heart center's closed. And again, why is the heart center closed? Anger, hate, rage, fear, all of these emotions, all these things that can trigger us, whether it be in somebody else, whether, you know, it's in us. It's just so important to sit there and just take a moment and ask yourself why. And another thing I've learned in 2020, taking it into 2021, is to be in more observation and be less reactive, you know, because again, going back to this no judgment, and that's like my mantra this year. No judgment, no judgment, no judgment. And it's so, you know, sometimes you think to yourself, you have to be this horrible person to judge. It could be something so simple, so delicate that you don't even realize you're just like, you just judge that person. Or even if you think it, right? I mean, it starts up here and then, you know, this is the second piece where it comes out of your mouth. And we just really need to stand back. We don't know where that person's, we don't know what kind of day they've had. We don't know where they're coming from. We don't know their background necessarily. And even if we do, isn't it our job as God and light workers that we want to be to help that person and be able to guide them, not control them, not tell them, even if it just comes from your own self? I know that I've helped a lot of people just by talking about my own experience in something, my own journey of how I came out of that. I mean, Kathy, you talk about your childhood experiences, and that can touch on a million different things now as the young adult woman that you are, and all of that time from then to now. So I think for me, my mantra is no judgment. And I've got to tell you, it's got to be one of the toughest things for us humans to break again, because I believe it's programming. We've been programmed to judge. Our parents, our grandparents, our great-great-grandparents, you know, we're a product of our environments. And you can change that. It's as simple as just making that decision and practicing it. And be gentle with yourself and be loving, because it takes time, right? Anything, you know, when you were a kid and you wanted to ride a bike, you couldn't just jump on that bike and ride that bike the first time, right? It doesn't matter what it is in life. You're an experience that you're learning. It takes time. And being living in a microwave society where we want everything yesterday, we've lost the ability to have those patience. We've lost that ability to give it the time. We've lost the ability to not be so reactive and just sit back in observation and just watch, listen. You know, when was the last time somebody was maybe having a debate or an argument, but you really just listened to that person? We're too busy defending ourselves because, again, we're being triggered. Why? You know, sit back and ask yourself, wait, why? Because competition and battle will never win. Nobody wins in that energy, ever. And these are some of the things that I feel that as a collective, each one of us that are going through the healing. These are the old programs that we're breaking and we're breaking down to be able to help others. Does that make any sense to you, Kathy?
It makes a lot of sense. And one of the things that I was just going to mention too is I think that part of the fear, part of what people experience is, you know, there's a lot of grief that's happening in the world right now. And there is a stage of grief where you get angry. And angry, being angry is actually being in fear mode, turning it inside out, right? So if you're feeling angry, if you're putting judgments because of, you know, this feeling of anger, it's important to recognize that you're in fear mode of something. And then if you're in a fear mode, what is that? What it, like, recognize that, what is that? And then, as you were saying earlier, you know, releasing it, because often part of the forgiveness process is recognizing that we need to detach from something. And that is, part of, you know, grieving is the detachment process. So part of this is, you know, we need to detach. Maybe it was an old thought process. Maybe it was an old belief system. Maybe it's an old script that we were playing in our head over and over. Maybe it was something that wasn't even our script. Maybe it was something that was generational, right? Passed down for generations. And now all of a sudden that script isn't, it doesn't work anymore. And that that could be a shock.
Absolutely. And death, when we talk about death, that can come in many forms. That's not necessarily a human transformation that, you know, or transition. That could come from an ending of a relationship, friendship, an old habit. You know, going back to even, you know, here we are again. I love how these conversations with you and I, we circle back, we'll talk, and something that was said earlier will come back again. And it's such wonderful confirmation. But getting back to the beginning of this podcast where we talked about letting go of stuff, and some of that stuff was addictions. Well, in a death, it's the same sort of thing. You know, sometimes we're letting go of a person we were close to, okay? And that is a lot of grieving. But you're right. People grieve because they've lost their pet. People grieve because they lost. I sold my horse trailer. The nicest, sweetest family that needed this horse trailer, because she had a mare that needed to go actually have a surgery. It had to get a tooth out or something. It was a really bad deal with this horse. And this woman didn't have a trailer. I just happened to have mine for sale. It just happened to be big and beautiful for her. But I'm telling you, she's pulling out of my driveway with that horse trailer, and I grieved. I'm bawling. You know, it's a thing. But I had great memories, and I did so much with it, and I did community events and pony rides for children, and, you know, on and on and on. There was this history. And I think when we are grieving from a death of whatever it is, a horse trailer in this particular situation I'm discussing, I had a history. I had memories. Do I feel like my life is any less worthy now because I don't have my horse trailer? No. Was my heart really filled and overjoyed for that family that they could have it and be able to take care of their horse? And they did. The horse had the surgery and it's recovered and it's wonderful. Was that not the greater good that came out of, you know, from my heart space, what I was feeling? Absolutely. Did it feel like a loss? Yes. But at the same time, it was a gift. It was giving. And that's something, too, that we should maybe pay attention to when we're actually thinking, maybe going back to the programming of losing something. When you're giving it, or when you're passing it, paying it forward, we really need to maybe concentrate on that paying it forward and that giving, because that's where the true gift is coming from.
I couldn't agree more. And as you were talking about this, it reminded me of a personal experience where, due to the circumstances of my family dynamics, I had this whole side of my family that I never had a relationship with. And I, as an adult, connected with my aunt that I never knew my entire life. And we had this instant connection. And it's amazing how divinely we are brought to situations and things kind of evolve. So I visited her. She lives in another state. And when I visited her, like, I literally just got to her place and she had her bags packed because she was just returning from a trip. And she got a telephone call from my uncle, who I had never met. And this was probably like my second or third meeting with my aunt. And he tells my aunt that he's dying of cancer. And I said to my aunt, I said, when was the last time you saw your brother? And she's like, I don't know, like 5 years ago, because they lived a great distance apart. And I said, look, your bag is packed. My bag is packed. I was planning on spending some time with you. I think I'm supposed to be here in this moment to drive you to go and see him because I haven't met him. So I literally drove us. It was a 12-hour drive. And on our drive, we had talked about a lot of things. And ironically, the reason we got connected is because my mom had passed away. And it was because of her passing that we got connected. So as we were talking, I was telling her, you know, I've got this stuff from my mom and I didn't have my mom in my life. And I don't know what to do with this stuff. Like, there's this part of me that doesn't want to let it go because, like, it's a piece of her. But then there's a part of me that's like, I don't need this. I don't need this. Like, this is not something that I would use. It would be, you know, something that somebody else could use. But I was having a hard time kind of going through this because, you know, it was a part of her and I never had her in my whole life. And I finally have a piece of her and it's like, you know, she's gone.
Right.
And my aunt says, it served its purpose. And I was like, oh my goodness, like you just hit the jackpot, because if something served its purpose, it really does give you a sense of it's okay to release it. It's okay to give it back to the world and recirculate it for good. Right? Because it served its purpose for you. And I was like, that's really beautiful. That's really, really beautiful. So just like your horse trailer, like when you were talking about that, I was thinking of my aunt about it served its purpose, you know, and I think it makes it easier to kind of disengage and detach with love, really. Detachment with love.
Absolutely. That's absolutely perfect. And I totally can resonate with that. It served its purpose. And each one of us have a purpose to serve. Each one of us are finding, and it metamorphoses, you know, it changes. I mean, I've had literally two very different major careers in my life. I mean, I graduated from high school and I went into beauty school and I graduated from that. And I took my career to the highest point, to where I had a master's in coloring, hair coloring. I owned 6 hair salons. My one salon, I had 14 on staff, you know, managers, receptionists, the whole nine yards. And I was a working owner. So I had my own clientele, my own book to do. And during that whole time, I was, you know, competing and training for triathlons. So it's like, wow, I don't know where that energy came from. But the point being, you know, I went from that literally to this being a diva back in the day to, you know, I'm in the stalls mucking out horse manure every day. And, you know, I stink at the end of the day. You know, I live this simple farm girl life. And I sometimes think, you know, if I had the opportunity to go back to being somebody else, or who I was in the past, I don't think I would, because that served its purpose in its day, right? So I just in this, I swear I'm living towards or living in more of my soul self. You know, I really am this down to earth person that, you know, at 52 and can go out of the house or do this podcast and not have a stitch of makeup on. and feel comfortable in my own skin, hey, I think that's a major accomplishment. You know, it's not that I don't like to dress up. It's not that I don't love to put makeup on and feel feminine and pretty. I mean, go for it, right? I just, at this point in my life, horses really don't care whether I'm wearing perfume and makeup or not. Probably they would prefer if I don't, right? They'd be like, Mom, you smell weird. I'm not going to kiss you now. But yeah, I mean, you know, I went from making people beautiful in life, making them feel beautiful about themselves to, you know, I healed a lot of children on this farm. I had a business 4 years ago where, you know, we had summer camps and retreats and community events and birthday parties. And so, you know, it's giving people these experiences and children these experiences, and it's serving. You know, I'm now going to be serving again. You know, how can I serve? Being on this podcast, doing what you're doing is huge, Kathy. It's a huge serving. And you can't be a leader until you know how to serve, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. And the beautiful part of our year in 2021 is that we are unfolding into this authentic space within each and every one of us that is really allowing us to be present in such a way that we've never been present before, or to serve like we've never served before. And just live through a different lens with value and appreciation. And the gift of that is just so, so incredible. I know so many people that I've talked to, and, you know, they talk about their dreams and how their dreams are manifesting. And literally, you know, they're going through an ascension with their spiritual awakening and their spiritual side. And how they're just, you know, ascending to a different place in time where they've never been before, and how beautiful that is. And I do think that there's a lot of truth that, you know, when we've been wronged, that we do have grace around that and recognize that the people that have wronged us, a lot of times they don't recognize that they've done that, you know, and it really is our responsibility to own how we're showing up and what we're doing with it and how we're putting it back into the world. I know, you know, for myself, I've been wronged by a lot of people in my life. And it's interesting because, you know, when you're someone who is not always assertive like I used to be, or quieter, you know, people think you can just be walked all over and you don't have an opinion or you don't matter, all these different associations. But the fact of the matter is that that's not true. There's nothing true about that. And we are okay just the way we are. We're okay in who we are. We're all individuals, and there's a reason for that. There's a reason that we're all individuals. So I would just, if there was a message that I could, you know, share today, is really wherever you are in the world listening to this, really embrace your individuality, really own that, and don't allow yourself to fall into conformity that you have to be something you're not.
I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more. That is the equality of self-love. We are all different, yet we're all the same, right? So embrace your difference. Embrace being different. I wouldn't want to be somebody. I mean, again, for me, I feel that that's programming when we're growing up and we want to be, I don't know, like the girl next door. We want to be a famous, you know, we want to be like a famous actress or actor. Just no. I mean, it's just, I agree with that message being put out there that just be you, because each one of us has a gift to give. Each one of us, because we have our individuality, is bringing that individual gift with us. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, how beautiful is that, that we have all these individual gifts, and then when we do something like this on a global scale and we connect the dots across the world, around the world, to be able to work with people on a global level for the better of mankind, I don't think there's anything greater, right?
And so keeping, true.
Right? I just can't imagine anything greater than that.
Yeah, so true.
And that's what you're doing tonight. Me being on this tonight, it's all your guests in the future and in the past. This is what we're doing. So beautiful work, Kathy. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. I mean, it's a blessing to have been really surrounded and have these beautiful people brought to me that can put these messages out into the world and be a light, you know, during a period of time where there is so much change and there's so much volatility and it is uncomfortable for a lot of people. You know, when your basic routines are upset and, you know, people have lost jobs, people have lost family members, people have been forced to change everything about what they know or how they live their life. And that's not easy. And I think part of this too is that the rate of change has been accelerated so much that I think for a lot of people that's been really hard to handle too, because for some people they don't deal well with change at all. So to be forced into something not of their doing, not the way that they would want to do it, I think it just really, really, really puts this major spotlight of discomfort on the entire situation. And if there was an analogy I could use, I think it's really create a dance, you know, be the butterfly and allow yourself to dance in and out and, you know, don't get wrapped up in whatever it is that you're manifesting with fear, because you don't have to. It is a decision.
Right. And the one last thing I want to say to everyone that's listening, and I think this is so important, is that you're not alone. You're not alone. A lot of times when we're going through the dregs of something, when we're in the gutter, when we're in the dark, I know for myself, it's like, oh, I'm alone. I'm the only person on the earth that's feeling this or going through this right now. And I think this work, Kathy, that you're bringing forth is helping people to realize, wow, I'm not alone. You know, there's other people out there that are like-minded, or other people do care about what I'm feeling or what I'm going through, whatever that might be. All right, because there's so many different things you can talk about, so many different things you can touch on. And again, I think that's part of my future work and your future work, is that there's a safe place to go and that people aren't alone. I think that's just so critical right now to realize that you're not alone. So I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, and that's so, so true. And I know as you know, we go through these changes that this discomfort people are feeling, it is putting them into these spaces that are very dark. And if you can have the inner strength to just check on people, be cognizant of what it is that is their daily routines, and if they're falling out of those routines or if they're falling into a space of darkness, really create yourself to be a source of love and light for those people. And help find support for them and reassure them that this is not going to last forever. I mean, we're in a period of time, but, you know, things change and it isn't forever. But to your point, Jackie, it's like people are so used to everything being so fast at an accelerated rate that they want things to just be fixed right away. And that's not how things work. You know, you think of a butterfly, like they cocoon. They get really ugly and nasty before they break open the shell and, you know, open up their wings and start to fly. And we really are in this state where we are cocooning and we're growing our wings and we're getting ready to bust out and getting ready to fly. And how fast that happens, I don't know. But, you know, this is where we are. And just be okay with being in this space right now. Don't live in the past, because that's going to cause depression. And don't live in the future, because that's going to cause you anxiety. Just be here right now in the present and be okay being here right now, because that is a big gift that you can give yourself.
Absolutely. Right there with you.
So Jackie, I always ask all of my guests, if I were to pick up your earth angel feather off of the ground, what would your message to the world be?
My message would be that I love you all, that I accept you all, that I don't judge anyone, that we are knitted together in a way that will become even stronger, will become even brighter, will become even more beautiful than what we could ever imagine. And so I would just wish you all love and light.
That is really beautiful. Like, I totally could feel that when you were saying that. It's very beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being with me, my friend. And I'm so happy I could share you with the world today. You're such a beautiful soul, and I'm honored that you're my friend. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. And I was honored to be on, and it was wonderful. Thank you so much.
And that's all we have time for today. This is Catherine Daniels with Retreat to Peace, reminding you to live your authentic life with peace. And as always, retreat to peace. And we'll see you next time.